These are exciting days at Crosspoint. In fact, our attendance is higher than it's ever been, and we're running out of space. Why? Because we've been relentless since day one in creating an environment for people to grow in their relationship with Christ and in meaningful relationships with others. So we have this belief that while many people have given up on church, they haven't given up on God. This dream for a place for people to be able to come and explore their faith at their own pace, a place where it's okay not to have it all together, has become a reality. In fact, many of you are here today because this dream was placed on our hearts, on this place that eventually became known as Crosspoint. In fact, in the early days, we started Crosspoint with a remnant of 55 adults and just about as many kids. The auditorium at Fall Creek Intermediate School felt huge. In fact, we used to spread out the chairs, whether you realize it or not, just so that it felt like we were filling up the room. Our kids' environments had ample space, and everybody had a prime parking place. Over the last 6 years, a lot has changed. What began as a handful of individuals has become hundreds of people seeking truth and exploring and experiencing authentic community. Over the last couple of years, we've continued to multiply our environments here at Crosspoint. We've added a second service time, in addition to adding children's environments like Kids Club and Area 56 and student ministries. In 2010, we partnered in birthing another church community up in the Pendleton community, a church by the name of Catalyst. In fact, just recently for our game day teach-off, we saw our largest attendance ever for a non-holiday weekend, with 448 individuals attending our services and children's environments at Crosspoint. We're beginning to hit the max capacity in our auditorium as well as in our children's environments, where guests are beginning to feel like there's not room for them. All because the ministry here at Crosspoint is making a difference in the lives of people. A little over a year ago, God opened up the door for us to purchase the property diagonally across the street from Fall Creek Intermediate School at the corner of Olio and Silverstone Drive. Over the past months, we've gone through numerous designs and what seems like endless revisions as we continue to hone in the construction drawings for this new launch pad. These plans will soon be turning into a reality as we break ground later this spring. And I think what's most exciting to me is this new launch pad is going to be just that. It's going to be a launch pad, propelling the ministry of Crosspoint beyond just a single location, but out into the community, creating venues and avenues for life change for people all around us.
Crosspoint has been growing by being a place where it's okay not to have it all together, where anyone who is seeking God can grow in a meaningful relationship with Him as well as a meaningful relationship with others. Crosspoint's new launch pad is intended to be just that, a launch pad. A launch pad for ministry, a launch pad for life change, a launch pad for connection and authentic community. We believe God has strategically located us on one of the primary arteries in the Fishers community, with easy access to major thoroughfares from surrounding communities. Our building elevations are intended to exemplify the creativity and relevance that emulate the personality of the Crosspoint tribe. Entering the atrium, you'll enter into the third space. This is a space for gathering and connecting, a place beyond home and work, a third place. This third space will include a coffee bar, an indoor play area for kids, free Wi-Fi, and a warm, cozy coffee shop environment for connecting. This will not only be a space for gathering and connecting before and after weekend services, but it will also be open to the community throughout the week. Kind of like a neighborhood gathering place, whether it be with friends over coffee, a business lunch, a corporate meeting, or your favorite Pilates class. We envision this being a hub of connection in our community. The Crosspoint Launchpad will also feature a dedicated concert-style auditorium. This open model design will welcome new guests and regular attenders alike into a phenomenal atmosphere designed for worship and growth. This uniquely designed auditorium will feature dedicated seating for around 475 people. Captivating visuals and dynamic sound will create a great environment for the creativity, ingenuity, and music that is uniquely Crosspoint. Ultimately, this will be an environment for life change, a place where we worship and bring our friends. Our launch pad will also feature an innovative children's space with secure check-in that will assure the safety of all children that enter our children environments. These children's environments will enable us to expand our classroom capacity for the Wumbaland nursery and preschool areas, as well as create a dedicated production-style space for Upstreet, our Sunday elementary age environment. The Kids Club and Area 56 environments will double as our student ministry center for students 7th to 12th grade during the week. With our location being surrounded by schools and students throughout the week, we anticipate limitless opportunities in serving and ministering to the students in our community. As you can see, the development of this launch pad will give us a 24/7 presence in our community, as well as put the imprint of Crosspoint at the center of life and activity of Fishers and the surrounding areas, which will allow us to be a hub for connecting, a place for gathering in community, and ultimately to be a vessel for life change.
This spring, we're going to experience the rush of excitement as we begin to see this launch pad become a reality. Right here where I'm standing, the dirt in my hands right here is the very place for this real home for real people. But it's not that growth that excites me the most. It's the growth that's going to be taking place in our hearts and in our lives because of the sacrifices that we're willing to make for the benefit of others. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, we're told this: "For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it." See, I believe God's doing something bigger than what we can even begin to fathom or imagine right now. It's not about a building, but this is really about life change. It's about people coming to know Jesus and all of us growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm excited about what God is doing, and I look forward to the many, many stories of people coming into an authentic encounter with Jesus that changes the trajectory of their lives right here in this very place, the Crosspoint Launchpad. Well, good morning. It's great to have you here this morning. You know, early arrivers. Great job being here on time today. You know, this is one of those things. I had to chuckle during that video because I thought, you know, we're running out of space. Really? Look around here a little bit. It's one of those things where, you know, of course, when we're showing this publicly for the first time, it's a daylight savings weekend, but it's a reality. In fact, we're in week 4 of this journey called the launch journey, and we've just been exploring some of the realities of what it's going to take to accomplish this God-sized dream. And today we're going to be talking about the vision for this place, why we need to do this, and you know, if you're newer here today, listen, you've joined us in one of the most intense times of our church ever in the history of Crosspoint. And so, you know, we're not quite this intense around here during the normal run, normal things we do, though we're close. But one of the things that's a benefit to you if you're here for the first time or third time, maybe, whatever it might be, is you're getting to be able to just say, you know, what is this place about? You're getting a picture of the behind the scenes, the heartbeat of what drives this place. And so some really cool stuff going on. We've been exploring through this journey, this idea of surrendering. What does it mean to surrender everything I have, to realize everything that I own really is has really come from God. It's a gift to me that God has entrusted to me. And then we looked at what it means to listen to God, to say, God, what is it that you might want back? Because whatever God entrusts, it always goes away from us. Either we sell it or give it away, or, you know, when you die, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul, so, you know, you can't take it with you. But, you know, what do I do with what I have? And then last week, we looked at what does it mean to be obedient and just do whatever it is God's asking us to do as we come to this idea of what our role is in this launch campaign. And I've been shooting straight with you. We really have. You know, we've not been guilting. We've not been, you know, doing anything to manipulate you. We've just been shooting straight, but we have been passionate. And the goal of this journey is to get us to a place where we're making a financial sacrificial commitment. My goal is that every person here at Crosspoint is a part of this thing, and that you're able to make a commitment of some kind over the next 3 years. Next weekend, March 17th, is our commitment weekend. And you can say, you know, I was a part of the front end group of people who helped put this imprint of Christ in our community. And so, you know, we're really pushing hard after that. We've been talking about money. We've been talking about a lot of other principles as well. But here's the reality. Jesus talked about these things. In fact, one of the things Jesus talked about the most is money. Money was talked about more in the scriptures than anything. Talked about more than love, more than heaven, more than hell, more than praying. You know, and one of the reasons is because Jesus understood that our possessions, the things we have, including our money, is the primary competitor for our hearts. And so, you know, Jesus understood that when we really look at how we use those things, it reveals where our heart is. And in fact, here's one of the things Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
And so one of the realities for us that we have to consider is next weekend, March 17th, the data will come in. The data will come in as we make our commitments of whether our hearts are with God or whether they're somewhere else. And so I'm excited for that day. And I want to be really clear, we're in a journey, all right? Journeys are hard. Journeys are not always easy. They challenge us. They grow us. But we're in a journey. You and I are on this journey where hopefully God's giving us some clarity on what our role is in this thing. And yet it's not just what can I do, what can I give? It's what is God doing in me? What is God teaching me? How is God growing me in my understanding of my things and how I can be used to accomplish his purposes in the world? And this is just how God grows us. We've been planting seeds each week. That the song was great, PJ, by the way. Great song. I am a seed. You're a seed. You know, we've been talking about how, you know, we've been planting seeds and saying, how does God want to grow these up? And really that growth comes down to how you and God work that out, how you allow God to develop that. So I'm really excited for what's been going on, excited for today. Before we do anything else, let's just take a moment and pray. God, I'm thankful that we can come into a dark room like this. I'm thankful for just kind of the sweet spirit in this place. I mean, it's early. We're a bit maybe feeling a little bit groggier than normal, and yet there's just a sweet feeling right now, and I know primarily that's because you are present. And God, it's been a good 4 weeks or so. It really has. Many of us are growing. We're experiencing things we've not experienced before. There are things being put on our grid that we've never really wrestled through. And we're just seeing exciting things happen. There's others of us that are just in attention right now. We're still trying to get clarity on what it is you're asking of us to do or what we can do in faith for this launch campaign. And so God, I just pray that you continue to reveal yourself to us. God, I pray that you would continue to work in our lives. God, I just pray in these next few minutes that you would guide my words even right now and that they would connect with all of our hearts today. I pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. Well, you know, today I really want to get after this idea of why are we doing this? What's this whole thing about? You just saw this video that explains some of our history and how we intend for this building to be used. But why? Why are people getting very barbaric around here and doing crazy things, you know, things getting after, you know, asking hard questions and giving things up? And I know for Julie and I, as we shared a couple weekends ago, of some of the things that we're bringing to the table, all the things in our life are on the table, but some of the things we're specifically bringing to the launch campaign, you know, as we did that, you know, that was a hard process for us. That's why journeys are hard. And yet, you know, Julie and I did that because leaders never do ask you to do something we haven't already done. So that was kind of us modeling that for you of what it looks like for us to acknowledge what God's entrusted to us, what we're returning to him, some of the things in our life that we're putting off for the next 3 years in order to make a more significant investment in what God's doing in this community. And as we do this, you know, we don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. I mean, there's a faith element to this, you know, which by the way, if you've not been here for each of the weekends through this launch journey, you can find these on the podcast on our website. I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to those this week. You know, you're going to hear some of the pieces that are critical as we approach Commitment Weekend. You know, I talked to somebody this last week that was really excited. And listen, I'm not asking people to share with me what they're committing to this thing, but they called and said, hey, I want to explain to you what we're doing. We're excited about this. And it was just cool to hear the excitement. It's cool to hear people saying, I want to be a part of this thing. It was cool to hear them talk about how they've engaged their kids and are drawing their kids into this process and leading their kids through understanding, hey, we want to give something up so that we can make a more significant investment in what God is doing at Crosspoint. Cool, cool stuff. I was talking to somebody else this week who's you know, talking about, you know, refinancing their house or downsizing their home, which would allow them to do really two things, to get better on top of things financially and make an investment in Crosspoint. And I was just floored by this. I thought, man, this, you know, people are really digging and searching and doing some of the same things that Julie and I have shared. And we've said, hey, this is our story. It's not anything you have to do, but maybe it gives you a picture. But it's just really, really cool to see how people are saying, hey, God is really stirring in us through this process. And I got to tell you something, I'll be really honest. When people start telling me this stuff, I get really, really humbled. I mean, I get really humbled. I come to that place where, you know, I just feel like, you know, when we take these journeys, these are very defining moments for us, very defining moments for Crosspoint. And I really get a glimpse of, are people's hearts really in this thing? Are they really into what God is doing, or are they somewhere else? And so it's just really cool for me personally to see that and to see that, you know, people are saying, hey, we are reordering and really digging deep for what God is calling us to do in this deal here. And so this morning, I want to introduce two people to you that I've become good friends with over the last number of months. This couple's joined our life group, and we've increasingly become a part of their lives and vice versa. And so I want to introduce Todd and Sonia Robbins to you this morning. They've got a really cool story of what God's been doing in their journey, specifically through the time here at Crosspoint. So take a look at the screens and take a look at their story.
So we moved to Fishers this past summer in May, and right after we moved, we found out that Todd needed to have massive heart surgery. He had quadruple open heart bypass surgery. So he's pretty young for that to happen, and neither of us were really prepared for what that would be. So he made it through the surgery, and the recovery process, I think, I definitely was not prepared for. I was like in mean mommy mode, and I was just short fused and just out of strength in every possible way that you could be. I mean, I was just depleted completely. Not to mention whatever he must have been going through, but I was on my own ride and it was sucking. So I got a postcard in the mail, and it was for Crosspoint, and it said that, you know, we have good coffee and there's, you can low lights and you can leave if you need to. And I thought, you know, the place that I need to be right now, and I'd grown up in the church but hadn't been to church in, I don't know, 15 years, something like that. But I just felt like the place I really needed to be or wanted to be or thought maybe I could get a little relief would be church. And I just was hoping that this wasn't like a crazy church.
Yeah, so for me it was a little bit different. I'm not even sure I realized that she'd gone that first time until obviously it had already happened. And I saw the postcard sitting there on the countertop. And I asked her about it. She told me about this church that she went to. You get coffee on the way in. It's great coffee. It's free coffee. You go in, you can kind of wear what you want to wear, jeans, sweatshirt, you know, shorts. I think it was summertime back in July, if I'm not mistaken. And I was skeptical. I told her, I said, this isn't a church. It's something, but I'm not sure what. And I'm going to have to go check this out. So I went the next Sunday. You know, for me, I'm in a little bit different place than Sonia. She came from a very spiritual background, I guess. I did not. Matter of fact, very skeptical. So we went, and I think the thing that I liked the most about it was a very casual environment. I didn't feel uncomfortable. And so it just kind of became addicting, I think, and we just kind of kept going back, and you know, it grew on me, and it's really brought me to, I think, a different place now than what I was, you know, 10 months ago, roughly.
I think for me, probably growing up in the church and kind of going to church every time the doors were open and sort of being jaded by the things that I saw. And I think I jaded myself because I had this picture of Christianity that there were these rule sets and that you gave your life to God and you followed these set of rules and you were a great Christian. And being somewhat of a perfectionist, it always ticked me off that I was never doing this right. I was always screwing up continually. And so it just sort of became a burden, like, why even pretend that I can do this because I totally can't. But coming to Crosspoint, one of the first series we did was The Journey. And that was pretty big for me because it was seeing my life and my walk with God as a journey. I mean, it's a process. It's not, I think if any of us could get it right or be perfect at it, then there probably would have been no need for Jesus because we'd all be like superstar Christians. So I think that's my biggest takeaway so far.
And from personal experience, the things that I've seen and done and had to go through, I don't think that I could have done that on my own. So I've always believed there was a bit of a higher power. I just wasn't sure what. So I think when I started coming to Crosspoint, I was kind of in a deficit, kind of in a hole looking up to a break-even point. And, you know, just through coming there and the way that the teachings are and the way it's applied, kind of a real life scenario, I think it's easier to understand, and I think it's easy. It makes things more tangible for me. It makes me, you know, it's more believable for me. I've gone from completely shunning religion and God and anything that goes with that to at least coming to a point where I'm open to, you know, where I can say, okay, it is a possibility, it is a reality, and there is more to this than what I had thought.
We joined a small group when they were set up this fall for the journey. I asked Todd, I said, well, do you want to do this? Kind of thinking he'd say, no, absolutely not. You got me to check in, kids. There's no way I'm doing a small group. But he said, yeah, let's go look at the tables. So we walked around to the different tables, and we didn't know who any of the leaders were, but we knew who Kurt was. And so he said, well, if we're going to join a group, we might as well get it from the horse's mouth. And so we joined the Walters group, and it's been good.
So in the beginning, I think the word terrifying would come to mind. You know, we didn't know anyone. And again, with my background, you know, I think in the beginning I did a lot of this, you know, unfortunately, not out of guilt, but force on you. But it all came together. The small groups are great. Ours is great. We have fun and, you know, again, we get to share our thoughts, and it's very open and non-judgmental. And so for me, we started off, you know, I come here 8 months ago. You know, completely different opinion. We start attending, it's very open, we go to the small groups, and when I've come from being in this deficit, as I call it, this hole looking up, you know, all through the different series that we have, to a point now where, you know, we want to be a part of the growth, the future, the new building. And really, just as a joke I had made some time ago when we first started this, I said, you know, yeah, this is all great, you know, the jeans and the rock band and the, or sounds like a rock band anyway. I said, but at some point, I said, you know, this is just kind of a promotional thing. They're going to have to start wearing suits, you know, they're going to go back to choir music, and at some point, they're going to ask us for money. There's no doubt. And again, it was kind of a joke, you know, between Sonia and I, but you know, truth of the matter is, we kind of come from ground zero all the way to, you know, a completely different place now. And I think that's only possible because, for me anyway, because of the environment that we're involved with at Crosspoint.
See, that story is what the launch campaign is all about right there. And I've got to live it in real time with it. It's been the coolest thing to walk alongside this couple and you know, to have a place where we bring our friends. And in their case, they get a postcard, and they're like, you know, we're in totally different spectrums when it comes to the spiritual thing. And yet there's a place where I can go, as she said, you know, where there's free coffee and low lights and easy exits if you change your mind. I mean, you know, the sense of a place to go and explore and to kind of work out my spirituality as I need to. And it was interesting, a few weeks ago, at the end of one of our small groups, Todd, we're just wrapping up, and at the end of the conversation, Todd said, you know, what was that first gathering like at Crosspoint? And I said, well, what are you talking about? You talking about like our first service? Or he's like, no, I'm not talking the first service. I'm talking like the very first time you and Julie shared this dream that God had put on your hearts with a group of people. And I'm like, wow, that's taken me way back. And I kind of began to describe for him what that was like. It was in a living room, and there were, you know, 10 or 12 of our closest friends, a couple family members, and we're just kind of saying, here's what God's put on our hearts. Here's what, you know, we feel like God's calling us to do. And it was a moment much like today, much like where I'm like, I'm not sure how God's going to work this whole deal out, not sure how people are going to respond. We thought, you know, people could think we're crazy. That group could say, oh, man, we're right with you. And I started to describe to him, and I said, you know, one of the things we did every time we gathered in that first gathering, and probably 20 or 30 times in a row with when we started different groups and had different settings, you know, sharing the vision for Crosspoint, was we would share this picture of the first century church that comes out of Acts chapter 2. And we just share this picture of what the church looked like when it began, right after Jesus had died and went back up to heaven. And then these believers were gathered, and they began meeting in this small room. And this was the beginnings of the church. And there was such a visual picture of what took place there. I want to read it for you this morning, because I shared this in our small group that night. And this comes from Acts chapter 2. In fact, it's paraphrased by Dr. Gilbert Bilzekian, who's a professor at Wheaton College, former professor. And he kind of put it in modern language. But here's what this picture looked like. I want you to imagine this in your mind. So there was once a community of believers who were so totally devoted to God that their life together was charged with the Spirit's power. Life together, that's where we actually get our life together groups right there. There was a sense of church was more than a gathering in an auditorium. It was about people journeying through life together. And that band of Christ followers, believers loved each other with a radical kind of love. They took off their masks. They shared their lives with one another. They laughed and cried and prayed and sang and served together in authentic Christian fellowship. Those who had more shared freely with those who had less until socioeconomic barriers melted away. People related together in ways that bridged gender and racial chasms. They celebrated cultural differences. This community of believers, this church, offered unbelievers a vision of life that was so beautiful that it took their breath away. It was so bold, so creative, so dynamic that they couldn't resist it. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And seeing these early gatherings, we'd just share this picture. And as we'd share this picture, you know, we'd be sitting in a living room with people from varying backgrounds, much like Todd and Sonia. I mean, you know, two opposite ends of the spectrum. And as we shared this, you know, we oftentimes with people who'd just given up on church. And as we'd share this, we'd say, you know, I don't know what your picture of the church is today, but I think a lot of this picture has been lost. I think for a lot of us, church has become something more. In fact, we've been very clear from the beginning. You know, we want a place to bring our friends, bring people from our community, because we believe that while people have given up on church, they haven't given up on God. And so we'd share this picture of the church, and then we'd ask one question, just one question after we read that. And we'd simply just say, you know, if we could reclaim the picture of what it looked like to be this kind of community today, and here was the question. Do you think that it would relate or have relevance to people's lives in the 21st century? That's the only question. And as soon as I shared that a few weeks ago, Todd was like, absolutely, absolutely. He's like, because it's working, it's working. It's why we've been here now for like 8 months, because it's working. And you know, I tell you what, this is what the launch journey is about. It's a space. I mean, we've got to move out of this space. We're beginning to outgrow this space. This space is costing us $8,000 a month, and it goes up every year. You know, we need to get into a space where we're stewarding our resources. But the reality is people need a place, a real home for real people, a launch pad for people to come and explore their faith, a place where they can come, you know, when they've given up on church, but they realize there's a place where I can go, and I can explore at my own pace, and the lights are low, and I can leave if I want to, because it's that kind of place, a place where we can bring our friends and our neighbors. And it's been really cool over the last 6 years. I mean, it's been the coolest thing to be in my seat, to sit and watch this develop, to see people just like a magnet drawn to what's happening here because you have lived out authentic community. It's been an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, it's been amazing to see, you know, some of the phrases out of that picture right there. This idea of people who don't necessarily believe what we believe, that may have differing beliefs, but even though they believe something different, they come here and there's something about what happens with the way people love one another. There's something about what happens with the way people serve and give of their lives and treat one another without any judgment. That they're like, there's something about that I want to come back to. I think Todd called it addicting. It's like addicting. And to see, you know, people, in, as he called it, in deficit positions, make their way to ground zero and then come to a place to say, hey, I believe there's something out there, something bigger than myself, and I'm still working it out. This is a place where I can continue to work out my salvation. And, you know, it's been cool to see people take off their masks and get real, to sit in groups, you know, outside of the auditorium where you can just be real people and not have it all together and share your struggles. And you can laugh and cry and, you know, sing and pray and do all the things that communities known as the church are supposed to be doing. And what's one of the coolest things for me is, you know, this whole thing of bridging racial chasms and celebrating cultural differences and how, you know, this first century, you know, group of believers, those who had more gave to those who had less. It's the coolest thing when that happens around here. Among a number of other things, one of the cool things that happens here, one of my favorite days all year, is our Spread Some Cheer Meal Bot Drive Return Day around Christmas time. And if you've not been here around Christmas, you know, we fill like 80, 85 boxes, you know, 75 to 100-pound boxes, a whole list of food, and we send these boxes out into the community the weekend before Christmas to give meals to people in our community in the greater Indianapolis area, people who have less than us, because we're living out the biblical mandate for those who have more, give to those who have less. And it's just the coolest thing. In fact, my favorite day, I mean, we've had a partnership with IPS 96, and every year we've been, you know, funneling meals through that school into families that aren't going to have a Christmas meal on their table. And 2 years ago, we began a partnership with a local school up here in Fishers, Durbin Elementary. And I was so excited. I'm like, we're not only touching, you know, families in Indianapolis, we're serving people right here in our community. I'll never forget, somebody came up to me, and they're like, what are we doing this for, Kurt? People in Fishers don't have needs like that. There's nobody's not going to have a meal on their table at Christmas. And I said, oh, you just wait and see. And for the last 2 years, we've you know, given over 25 boxes specifically through one of our schools here locally into families that otherwise wouldn't have a meal on their table. In fact, just this last week, I got a card. It was kind of interesting. This is what jogged my memory on this. I got this at the office. It said, dear members of Cross Point Church, first, I'd like to apologize that it's taken so long to send this thank you card. Second, I cannot thank you all enough for the incredible blessings that we received due to your generous giving and kindness. Words can never express our gratitude and appreciation. May God continue to richly bless every one of you for the Christmas box and the gifts for our children at Christmas. See, not only did they get a meal box that you see right there, but somebody under radar here at Crosspoint actually provided Christmas for this family. And when I see that, I'm like, this is the biblical picture of what it looks like when people take seriously what it means to be the church, what it means to create a place and be a place where we give of ourselves. And those who have more, which is most of us, give extravagantly to those who have less. And the differences just kind of fade away. And you can sit in a small group with somebody who's running a $1 million business next to somebody who's struggling to get by, and it's okay. Because we realize we're dealing with some of the same things. And this is what it looks like to have a pervading influence in the world. I mean, it's just an exciting, exciting thing to be a part of. And this is really what this journey is about. You know, Friday night, Julie and I were out to dinner. We're sitting at dinner, and we're just kind of processing what God's been doing on this journey with us. And we've shared some of that publicly, but there's a lot more going on under the surface with us. And for me, some of the challenges, some of the struggles, some of the like, man, this is hard stuff. Pressing through journeys is hard. Because when you're taking territory like this, you know, I'm not a huge, like, let's over-spiritualize everything, but Satan takes note and throws barriers in our way. And yet we're sitting there talking about this, and I just look across the table and I said to Julie, you know, who are we to be able to be a part of this? I mean, how cool is it that we can say we're a part of setting an imprint in the community that's going to change the lives of people for generations to come? And that we can have a place where we can bring our friends continuously, and that we can invite people in that, you know, are in deficit positions, and they can have the space to explore what God might want to do in and through their lives. Who are we? Who are we to do this? I mean, it's just one of those cool moments where, like I'm doing right now, I'm like breaking down. I'm like, who are we to be a part of this? And it's one of those cool things that as we, you know, approach the end of this journey, I mean, next weekend, we have the chance to say, hey, here's how I'm going to be a part of this. And as we approach next weekend, as we get this picture and see the reality of how this is touching the lives of people, there's a couple things I want us to do, a couple things I want to walk us through as we prepare for next weekend. And so in your weekly, there's three cards that I want to draw your attention to. I want to ask you to take out here in these next few moments. The first is your connection card. And so grab these three cards, connection card, invite, invest card, and launch card inside your weekly. You know, every week we give you a connection card, and on the back of this, Eric, had you fill this out, there's some next steps. And on the back of this, these next steps are just ways that we give for you to tangibly say, okay, what is God wanting to do in my life this week? And these are important. These are even more important this week because these are going to greatly impact not only how we respond commitment weekend next weekend, but how we continue to be this place called Crosspoint. And so, you know, one of the first things on here is I'll have an open, honest conversation with God and my spouse, if I'm married, about our one-time gift and 3-year financial commitment to the launch campaign. If you have not done that, I want to encourage you to have that conversation. This is really, I don't want anybody showing up next week saying, oh, we haven't worked through this. We're trying to help you work through what is God asking us to do. And then the second card that is in your weekly is this launch commitment card. And I want you to just take that out and hold it in your hand. See, these are interesting. I talked to somebody this week that turned this in early with us. Some of our leaders are turning this in early, and they're like, my hand was shaking as I held this card in my hand. See, these are daunting, intimidating cards. I'm not going to ask you to do anything with it today, not even fill it out, other than just hold on to it, to read over. I want you to just see what this looks like as we approach commitment weekend next weekend. And I want you to realize that, you know, again, like Julie and I sitting there Friday night, you know, we're at the place of saying, who are we that we actually get to be a part of this? See, you and I stand next weekend at a place that very few people will ever have. It's going to be one of those moments next weekend where, you know, you could jump in on board with the launch campaign in 3 weeks or in a month or in a year. But next weekend, there's going to be this moment where we're going to kind of come and say, God, here's where I am. And here's the commitment I want to bring, the sacrifice, the investment. I want to show you that I'm in on this thing. There's very few moments that come in life where you get to set in motion something that will change the lives of people forever. And next weekend is going to be one of those moments. And so, you know, we've just been asking you to say, what is my role in this? And listen, I realize there are people without jobs. I realize that for some of you, God's giving you clarity on that role, and it's scaring you. You're like, holy cow, I didn't know that God would ever even ask me for that much. And for others of you, it might be $5 a month for some of you, because that's just where you are right now. My prayer is that every single one of us engage. It's not that there are equal gifts that come in, but that all of us have the chance to be on the front end of this, and that we have equal sacrifice, not equal giving. And I'm going to be praying this week that you get clear on how you can use this. And next weekend, we'll be walking through this card, making a one-time commitment of a total amount that we're going to, in faith, out of our best faith, say, God, here's how I'm going to try to walk this out over the next 3 years. And we're going to ask you to bring whatever you can bring up front next weekend as a one-time gift, and then take that off your total amount and walk the rest of that out over the next 3 years. And it's going to be in faith. And if you can't be here the next weekend, you can turn these in early. But I want you to pray through this card this week. I want to ask you to work through this card. The next card that's in your hands is this invest and invite card. And I tell you what, you know, what's really cool is some of us are here today because somebody invited us. Somebody said, hey, why don't you come to church with me? You know, why don't you come to see if God does something in this place? And every time I think about the urgency of what we're doing right now, the urgency of the launch campaign, the urgency of creating a place for people to come and experience Christ, I'm reminded of this passage of scripture in the New Testament by the Apostle Peter. And every time I read this scripture, I just get this picture in my mind. And here's what my picture looks like. All right, it may be way off, but here's how I see this thing. I picture God waking up every morning on one side of heaven, Jesus waking up on the other side of heaven, and the sun, you know, just barely, you know, I think they were both like, it's tiring today, it's early, why did they do daylight savings? I think that's what they're saying today. But it's like Jesus looks across heaven and says, you know, God, it's today the day we're gonna return to earth, and we're gonna end it all. We're gonna bring people who are following us up to live in eternity with heaven with us. It's today the day. And God looks back across heaven at his son. He's like, no, today's not the day. And I can just picture Jesus being like, but Dad, can't, it's bad down there. I mean, haven't you noticed how bad it's got? Haven't you noticed how much, you know, people are broken and hurting and wounded and struggling? Haven't you noticed? Look at the world. Look at your creation. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Why don't we just end it all today? And God just says, no, because today's not the day. That's what I picture every time I read this passage right here in 1 Peter. Here's what it says. Peter says, the Lord isn't really moving slowly about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's patient for your sake. Get this, he doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's giving more time for everyone to repent, for everyone to come into a relationship with him. See, some of us are here today because at some point over the last 3 or 4 years, somebody held a card like this in their hands, and they said, you know, I've got a friend who I really care about and I love, and I don't know that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I just love to see them come and just come to Cross Point and see if something begins to click. And they wrote their name on the back of this card as somebody they're just going to invest in, somebody they're going to pray for, somebody they're going to look for the opportunity to invite to a service at Cross Point. Because God's being patient. He says, no, I want to do everything possible to bring everyone into relationship with me. And that's what the launch campaign is really all about. And listen, if this is your first time, third time here, you know, if you're newer around this place, listen, we do this for you, all right? We don't do this for us. We don't create a place like this so we can just have a nice, we're doing this for you. In fact, best statistics say 80% of people in Fishers and surrounding areas this morning aren't going to be in church. And I would say those are reasonably accurate. I'd say it's lower or higher. I'd say it's only like 15 to 17% of people in our community are going to be in church this morning. I mean, we need a place for people to come and to experience a God and a Jesus for who he really is, and to see that God's solely about people and turning their hearts toward him and being in relationship with them. And this journey has really been one of asking us, you know, what is it that God has entrusted to us that we can use to help accomplish the purposes that Jesus is about, which is bringing people back into intimate relationship with him, into meaningful relationships with others. And so as you approach making your commitment next weekend on this card, I really want you to think about why you're doing that. Who are the people you're doing that for? I want you to ask yourself that. Who are the people in my life, as I make a commitment next weekend, that I say, you know, these are the people I really desire to come into relationship with Jesus through what's going to be taking place over these next few years? And even this morning, I want us to get very tangible on that with this card. I want you to hold this card in your hand, and I want you to spend over the next few moments a few moments just saying, you know, who are some people I'm willing to identify in my life that I'll just right now begin praying for? Because here's the cool thing. You know, getting into this building is just a tool. It just allows us to continue doing what we're already doing. Jesus isn't waiting for us to get there to have an impact. It's already happening. And so the question is, who do I want to pray for? Who are people in my life that I say, you know, I'm not sure they have a relationship with Jesus. And I just want to pray. I want to look for an opportunity to invest in their lives, maybe have coffee with them, you know, engage in some way, invite them over, and look for an opportunity to invite them to just attend Crosspoint. And if you'll just write their names down on here and then sign this, just kind of a covenant that says, I'm going to, because I love my friends or family or coworkers, I'm going to covenant and just praying for them and seeing if in some way God can use me in their lives. And as you know, we've got this time of year called Easter coming up in about 3 weekends. It's a great, easy ask for people to come. And so, you know, just use your time over these next few weeks to lean toward that. And as you do this, as you think about people in your life, I want to show you the stories of one of the guys in my life. In fact, when we first started Crosspoint, I filled a card out like this about the handful of people in my life that I hoped would come one day, that would someday walk in here and experience what's happening here at Crosspoint. And I actually wasn't the one that gave the first invite to him. It was my brother and sister-in-law who invited their next-door neighbors who we had also gotten close to as well. And so as you think about the people in your life, take a look at my good friend, Adejua.
Hi, my name is Adejua. I grew up with a lapsed Catholic mother, an atheist father, religious instruction in school, and really no connection with God, Jesus, or religion in any way. Since I met my wife Linda, I've started connecting with God. That brought me back to the church, or brought me to the church. And I think since Crosspoint, that's really accelerated and answered many questions for me and really changed my life significantly. Receiving Christ has been a gradual thing for me. Even when I met Linda and we started going to church, I listened to what was being said, I grew, but I was never satisfied. It never really connected with me. And I think when we started coming to Crosspoint, we met Kurt, I started understanding more. A lot of the questions I had, a lot of the things I concerned myself about were being answered without even asking Kurt what it was about. And I think that's what brought me closer and closer. Having my children and my wife and bringing them to Crosspoint and seeing how Christ, God, has totally changed their lives. It's made them good people, made me a better person. I think the hard part for me is that I'm not sure that I still fully deserve it. I wrestle with that on a daily basis. I started praying a lot over the last few years, something I'd never done in my life. And I sometimes wonder if I'm still a bad person. I sometimes wonder if I'm still not deserving this receiving grace and not having to give anything for it in particular other than what's inside me. It's a hard concept for me at times. I still wrestle with it.